Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
How we can generate more revenue, whether it be from tax exemptions or tax breaks to corporations.
A Northern Kentucky lawmaker says he's puzzled by the governor's decision to only address pension reform in the upcoming special session.
A Powell County woman is facing 101 child abuse charges.
The old Rowan Jail is being updated for artist space.
Carter County Detention Center is now transporting ICE detainees.
Funtoberfest kicks off tomorrow in Grayson.
In sports, suspended UofL coach Rick Pitino and athletic director Tom Jurek are facing more criticism.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
It'll be partly cloudy tonight, a low of 57 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
State police have arrested a Powell County woman on 101 charges of criminal abuse. WKYT reports Tiffany Walsh was arrested this morning. She is charged with allowing Jordan Otis to engage in sexual intercourse and other sex acts with several juveniles under the age of 16. The indictment also alleges that Welsh permitted Otis to inflict physical and mental torture on the minors, forcing them to keep journals documenting their abuse. Otis was indicted in July on 105 counts of rape, sexual abuse, criminal abuse, and sodomy. Walsh is lodged in Three Forks Jail.
A Lexington woman has been arrested for allegedly murdering her 76-year-old husband. WKYT reports Leon Hignite died at a hospital last night as the result of multiple blunt force injuries. He was found injured at the couple's home on Holly Springs Drive last Thursday after his wife, Carol Hignite, called emergency services. She was charged with assault after police investigated the home a day later. Officials say they think the assault actually happened on Monday of last week, 3 days before she called for help. Mrs. Hignite now faces additional charges of murder and abuse of an adult. She's lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center.
A Kentucky school district says a middle school student who left school without permission fell into a drainage ditch adjacent to the campus. News outlet report Fayette County School Public School spokeswoman Lisa Defendall said the Leestown middle school student was transported to the hospital as a precaution on Monday. She didn't have a precise description of the student's condition. Defendall says preventative measures will be put in place with the student and the school will review safety procedures. No further details on that incident have been released.
Officials say four children have been treated at a hospital after a school bus crash in Kentucky. Wave TV reports the bus was struck on a highway in Louisville by a car that was involved in a collision with another car on Tuesday afternoon. Jefferson County Public Schools spokesman Daniel Kemp says none of the injuries the four children suffered appear to be serious. An adult from one of the cars involved was also treated, but the extent of their injuries is unknown. Westbound traffic on I-64 was reopened roughly an hour after the accident. The students who had been on board were placed on another bus.
We'll have more of your region's news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins admits that he's puzzled by Governor Bevin's decision to deal only with public pension reform during his planned special session of the General Assembly next month and put off redoing Kentucky's antiquated tax system. According to the Moorhead Democrat, tax reform is needed to create badly needed revenue that would help bail out the state's financially ailing public retirement system, pointing out that cooperation in the Commonwealth is currently gets $12 to $13 billion in tax breaks.
When you look at that, you need to look at it carefully. We don't want to do anything to impact our ability to improve our economy or attract jobs, but you know, a lot of those exemptions have been on the table for some time, and we need to look at those. They've been in place for some time, and We need to look to see how we can get more of that revenue stream.
Adkins believes Governor Bevin could call lawmakers to Frankfort for a special session sometime next month.
House Democrats have proposed a new budget, which they claim will balance the federal budget in 10 years. Democratic Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky released the plan as a response to the proposed Republican budget.
We're calling for targeted investments in programs that grow our economy, create good-paying jobs, and provide real support for working families and real security in retirement. We have an opportunity to make vital public investments that lead to a brighter future, rebuilding roads, bridges, and other critical infrastructure.
Yarmuth says the proposal aims to help the average American and stimulate job growth.
Work to update the electrical system on the first floor of the old Rowan County Jail on Moorhead's Courthouse Square has been completed. That word comes from Gary Lewis of the county's Historical Society, which has been leading the effort for the last several months to renovate the 1930s-era building so it can be turned into an art studio. Lewis says volunteers have also been doing a lot of cleaning in recent days in that part of the facility.
You know, we've still got more cleaning, a good cleaning, and then we'll do probably some painting inside. And, you know, all the lighting, we'll have to check the lighting, and we hope we've put in, you know, good lighting for art classes.
Lewis says the next step will be to upgrade the electrical system on the building's second floor.
The Carter County Detention Center is now transporting detainees for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. Jailer R.W. Bogg says ICE had previously reached out to the U.S. Marshals asking for transport recommendations. Due to the relationship the Carter County Jail has established with the Marshal Service, they were quick to recommend CCDC for the job.
We just started, and obviously we're going to buy a whole other van, you know, get one outfitted and get at least two more full-time transporters. I think probably by the end of the year, if not the first of next year, it will be at least matching the amount of transport we do for the marshals.
Bogg says ICE was able to piggyback onto CCDC's federal inmate housing contract in order to start the transport deal. Carter County gets $1,000 plus mileage for each transport.
The Fall Festival in Olive Hill will host a 5K race to raise money for a local nonprofit youth organization. The Monster Dash 5K will raise money for the Galaxy Project, an organization wanting to build a youth center in Carter County while supporting local programs for children. Andrew Bledsoe is the executive director with the Kentucky Rural Health Information Organization. He says the 5K will support many of the projects they've already started.
So the 5K is actually a fundraiser that we're doing to help support some of the programs. Some of the things that we've done up to date, we've sponsored a green space park planning grant. We've done some teen leadership development programs and some community service efforts. And those are some of the things that we've kind of been doing. The money that we raise from this will go to help support those projects, but will also go towards our capital fundraising campaign as well.
You can find a link to online forms on the Galaxy Project's Facebook page. If you register before the 18th, it will cost $20 and $25 if you register after. On-site registration will start at 8 a.m. the day of the race, and the race begins at 8:30.
The Fun Oktoberfest, or Funtoberfest rather, begins this Friday in Grayson. WMKY's Brianna Robinson has the story.
The first event will be at Grayson Gallery and Arts Center with a craft fair at 4 p.m. on Friday. The bicycle fun ride will begin at 6 p.m. after Pomeroy and Main Street are closed off for the evening. There will also be a showing of the movie Trolls at 7 p.m. on Pomeroy Street. There are many events for adults throughout the day Saturday, including a pancake breakfast, a 5K run walk for the Nick Nishon Foundation, a pumpkin decorating competition for the kids, and much more. The baking competition, Chili in the Hills cook-off, pepper eating contest, a scarecrow and pumpkin contest, and a Jeep cruisin' begin at 11 a.m. with awards presented at 2 p.m. The Pet and People Parade begins at 2:15 and music performances on Main Street begin at 10 a.m. For WMKY, this is Brianna Robinson.
Farmers in Bracken County who suffered damage to their croplands during a late July flood could be eligible for some assistance from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Travis Chick is the Kentucky Program Chief for the USDA. Chick says producers should see if they qualify for financial awards through the department's Emergency Conservation Program.
This is not an entitlement program where everybody that has any damage is going to be necessarily eligible. There's a $2,500 minimum cost restoration. So unless you experience something where you'd have to have debris removal, that's going to be your cost is going to be in excess of $2,500. You wouldn't actually be eligible for this program. But when your cost exceeds that, you would absolutely be eligible to participate in this program.
The ECP helps farmers in the wake of natural disasters such as floods, tornadoes, or hailstorms. For more information about the program, Bracken County farmers can contact the Maysville Farm Service Office at 606-759-5763.
Greenup County will give people a taste of the past this weekend starting today. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Community groups from around the area are meeting in the city's downtown to celebrate the 52nd Greenup Old Fashioned Days. The event runs through Saturday. There are booths featuring crafts and food as well as a variety of entertainment acts, including the Greenup County High School cheerleaders, a spelling bee, open mic, karaoke, the Wortland Middle School Choir, and Greenup County High School dance team. There will also be a dog show, an antique car show, and an old-fashioned costume contest. At the Greenup County Farm Bureau Showgrounds, there will be an old tractor engine and machinery show. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Restaurant health inspection reports are receiving a makeover. The Fayette County Health Department says it has created a new color-coded system designed to make restaurant grades more obvious to customers. Health Department spokesman Kevin Hall says eateries undergo two surprise inspections a year in Lexington.
There will be marked on the cards whether this is a routine inspection or a follow-up inspection. And if it's marked as a follow-up inspection, go to the Health Department website and look to see what that previous inspection was. Maybe it's going to be too low. Maybe you don't want to eat there.
Establishments earning passing marks will receive a green placard, while failing restaurants will display a red one. In addition, Hall says the department will be posting scores faster using a new tablet-based system that does away with hard copies. The most recent round of health ratings can be found at lexingtonhealthdepartment.org.
Visitors to Lexington entering along Newtown Pike will see a new welcome sign. It's the first capital project completed by the city's Corridors Commission. The sandstone sign, designed by local landscape architect Mark Yannick, is meant to mimic the state's famous rock fences, while also bringing attention to the city's founding with a marker reading 1775. Commission Chair Bill Farmer has more.
It doesn't necessarily look that old, but it is an old city, and we're trying to celebrate that all with 1-2 seconds as you drive by, and I think you do get that.
Farmer says the project, originally slated for Harrodsburg Road, could be a sign of things to come. He says the city hopes to eventually add other markers along major corridors if the budget allows. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy, lows around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see some patchy fog in the morning, so be careful on your way to work. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny, highs near 82. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. On Saturday, partly sunny, highs near 83. Saturday night, a 50% chance of rain showers blowing in. Mostly cloudy with lows around 65. On Sunday, we'll see those showers continue, a 60% chance of precipitation. Mostly cloudy with highs near 78. And that night, showers likely, a 70% chance of rain. Mostly cloudy and lows around 65. It's currently 82 degrees in Ashland. It's 80 right now in Winchester and Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 79 in Lexington, and 81 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, an Ashland native is preparing to take over as the Commonwealth's next attorney for the 32nd Judicial Circuit of Kentucky. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Rhonda Copley will be sworn in as Boyd's prosecutor on October 10th. Copley was appointed to the post in August by Governor Bevin after the death of former office holder David Justice. A graduate of Boyd County High School, Copley attended the Chase College of Law. She's a member of the Kentucky Bar Association, the Boyd County Bar Association, and the Kentucky IOLTA Board of Trustees. She spent 8 years working as an attorney in Elizabethtown. However, most recently, she's been working on family law and juvenile court adoptions out of her private practice in Ashland, which she's in the process of giving up. Copley says that's been difficult.
Been practicing law for 26 years. I've been in Boyd County for 17. So I have a large practice here in Boyd County that I'm trying to close down, and it's been very, very difficult to walk away from clients that you've built relationships with over the past 17 years.
However, Copley is ready to get started and has already determined what her first objective as Boyd's Commonwealth's attorney will be.
I'm excited to get into the role and to try to make a difference in Boyd County regarding, you know, our drug epidemic, dealing with the drug dealers, trying to help the families. But it is going to be a slow process, and I know that going into it. We have a huge problem here in our area regarding drugs and the drug epidemic.
Copley says she's begun working on the issue by meeting with law enforcement in the area.
Sitting down with them, seeing their thoughts, working with them to get the cases in process, to get them litigated, to get trials set. That's the first step.
Copley already knows the process of ending Boyd County's problems with illicit drugs and those who traffic those substances will be an involved one and will take time.
It's taken years to get to this, and it's going to take years to solve the problem. There's not an immediate fix to this. One of the things that my office we're going to try to work on is kind of the rocket docket system, trying to get things quicker results, trying to get cases moving a lot faster.
Copley says the reason why drugs are her number one priority issue is because she has seen what they've done to those in her county.
I watch so many families affected by drugs, either as a victim, they're raising their grandchildren, they're coming in telling me stories about their family members who are on drugs, stealing from them, trying to get them help. It's a problem that's got to be fixed.
For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 447 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, and I'm here with Arlo Barnett. We're so glad that you've joined us on this lovely Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. Braxton Howard. University of Louisville suspended men's basketball coach Rick Pitino and suspended athletic director Tom Jurich are facing more criticism. WMKY's Sam Burton has the details.
According to an article from the Courier-Journal, the University of Louisville has paid athletic director Tom Jurich more money than the English, math, biology, and history departments for the past several years. Jurich last year was paid $5.3 million by U of L, more than double the next highest paid athletic director in the country. U of L's athletic department also paid Jurich's membership to two private golf clubs in the city, along with covering his bar and food bills, a total of $64,000. As for Rick Pitino, he received 98% of the school's $160 million deal with Adidas. In 2016, $1.5 million of the deal went to Pitino, while U of L athletic department received just $25,000. The journal also reports that U of L athletic department has taken over a $7 million subsidy from the university over the past several years in order to remain out of debt. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sam Burton.
The 17th-ranked Louisville football team takes college football center stage with an 8 o'clock ACC game at number 24 NC State tonight. The high-scoring Cardinals head into the contest averaging 40 points a game this fall, but co-offensive coordinator Lonnie Galloway wants to see more out of his team's offense.
You know, click like we were last year. You know, executing at a high level.
Tonight's game could be a shootout. NC State's clicking for 35 points an outing. Both teams have a 4-1 record. The Moorhead State football team will try to move above the 500 mark in the Pioneer Football League when it hosts Butler Saturday at Jane Stadium. Senior linebacker Jacob Biller says the 1-1 Eagles are putting last week's 38-0 drumming at Campbell in the rearview mirror as they get set to take on the Bulldogs.
We're always excited for another opportunity to play, especially when we're at home in front of our family and friends and all our fans. So, you know, we're looking forward to another opportunity, you know, try to get another win in the conference and, you know, just keep trucking along.
Like MSU, Butler is 2-3 overall, but is 0-2 in conference. The Eagles beat the Bulldogs 54-28 last year in Indianapolis. The Kentucky football team is getting set to host Missouri Saturday at Kroger Field. After squeezing out a victory over Eastern Michigan last weekend, UK offensive coordinator Eddie Grand says he wants to see the offense play more physical against Mizzou, something they've shown they can do.
I thought we were really physical in the second half of the South Carolina game, and I thought we were physical in the Florida game, you know. I really did. You go against teams like that, and there's going to be some good, bad, and ugly always, and there just wasn't so many ugly. You know, we needed to be physical every snap, you know, and I didn't think we were, and they didn't think they were either, you know. They know, and it was a good lesson to be learned.
Kentucky is 4-1 on the year, while Missouri is 1-3. Saturday's game kicks off at 7:30. Round County's 1-6 football team visits Boyd County tomorrow night, hoping to get its first win since the season opener. While optimistic that will happen against winless Boyd, Round coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings aren't about to take the Lions for granted.
No, Lord, no. You know, we can't take anybody lightly. We're going to go into this approach just like if they're undefeated. You know, anybody can win on any given night just for who's the best team within those minutes game played. So we're going to go with this as just like they're an undefeated team.
Round beat Boyd last year at home 21-0. A few local high school football teams will be playing the rare Thursday night game. West Carter visits Fleming County, McGoffin entertains Knott Central, and Russell travels to Pendleton County. Bath County plays tomorrow at Lewis County. While his 5-1 Wildcats are scoring plenty of points, Bath coach Johnny Pointer remains concerned about his team's defense, which is giving up about 32 points a game.
The defense is definitely keeping me up at night, and I'm trying to figure out a way that's best suited for this team. You know, everything's not the same, and I'm trying to figure out what this team here does the best.
Bath will face a Lewis County team that is 2-4. In the MLB playoffs today, the Boston Red Sox are currently in Houston battling the Astros. At last check, Houston is up in that game 2-0 in the second inning. In the night game, the New York Yankees battled the Cleveland Indians. Indians starting pitcher Trevor Bauer calls facing New York's lineup a challenge.
Got a lot of guys that hit for power. They got some scrappy guys that can put the ball in play, and they run. Some veteran guys, leadership. So you have to be able to do a bunch of different things as a starting pitcher to be able to handle all the different types of hitters they have.
That game gets started at 7:30. The Morehead State soccer team is in for a battle tomorrow evening when they visit the number 22 team in the country in Cincinnati. After splitting two games in Illinois last weekend, the Eagles have now won two of their last three games, and head coach Warren Lipka is pleased with where his group is at this point in the season.
I feel good. I think the girls are doing what they're trying to, you know, doing what we're trying to do. They're executing. They're working hard. They're competing. But what I really liked about it was like we didn't have a great performance on Friday and bounced back on Sunday and got 3 points on the road. So that kept us back in it. And now now we get a little break from conference, which doesn't happen very often. But it's going to be a good competitive game that we need.
MSU is 3-8-1 on the year, while Cincinnati is 9-1-2. Finally in sports, Round County's soccer teams wrap up the regular season with a girls-boys doubleheader tonight at home at 6 o'clock against Greenup County. Coach Max Hammonds' Red Hawk boys will take an 8-game winning streak into the contest with the 1-15 Musketeers.
You know, anytime you get those games like that, you know, you're just looking at it as a good practice tool before districts get started. And, you know, you're sitting there hoping that they control the ball and don't take the game lightly and do well. And, you know, it's also a good chance to get some kids in some minutes.
As for the Lady Vikings, they'll be trying to snap a 2-game losing streak and improve on their 9-5-2 record. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for NPR comes from MSU Athletics. Support for NPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football will host Butler this Saturday at 1 p.m. and Stetson on Saturday, October 21st. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks hit record highs, and the S&P 500 now has an 8-day winning streak, its longest since 2013. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 113.75 at 22,775.39. The S&P 500 was up 14.33 at 2552.07, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 50.73 at 6585.36 as large-cap tech stocks rebounded today, and that is a record closing high for all three of the major indices. Financial stocks and information technology led advancers, and the move higher in stocks came following a rise in yields, or I should say the move higher in financial stocks followed a rise in yields, and this was sparked by the House passing a $4.1 trillion budget, and that is, of course, the first concrete step toward tax reform. On the data front, weekly jobless claims fell by 12,000 to 260,000. The trade deficit shrank by 2.7% to $42.4 billion in August, and factory orders rose 1.2% in August, which was more than the expected 1% increase. Wall Street is looking ahead to tomorrow's government monthly employment report, which will come out at about 8:30, and consensus estimates are for a 100,000 gain last month after adding 156,000 in August. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.5% to finish at $50.73 a barrel. Gold was down 0.4% at $1,271.30 an ounce. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was up 0.16%, indicating a modest rise in European stocks. In the Far East, markets were stronger, with the Shanghai index up 0.3%, and South Korea's Kospi index up almost 1%. Among Dow stocks, the winners today were Goldman Sachs and Microsoft, and the worst performers among Dow stocks were United Health Group and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Netflix and Constellation Brands, and the worst performers were Navient and Celgene. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down a penny at $66.99, CSX up 53 cents at $52.35, AEP down 4 cents at $71.47, AK Steel down 10 cents at $5.67, Marathon Petroleum down 5 cents at $56.26, and Kroger was up 16 cents to finish at $20.69. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
The annual Kinneconic Autumn Fest will be held October 7th and 8th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Garrison, Kentucky. Locally made arts and crafts, food, a tractor show, pie contest, and live music. Family friendly, the event offers free admission and parking.
The second annual Moorhead Pride Festival will be held on East 1st Street from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 7th. Live music, drag show, food, vendors, and craft beer will be available. The Moorhead Pride After Party for ages 21 and up will be at Club 169 from 8 p.m. to midnight, and a youth after party for ages 16 to 20 will take place at the Moorhead Drop-In Center from 8 to 10 p.m. For more information, visit their website at moorheadpride.org.
And turning again to a look at the weather forecast, tonight it'll be partly cloudy, lows around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, take care on the roads. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny, highs near 82. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. It is currently 81 degrees in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for me. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. It's been 52 years since the man in black was arrested in El Paso, Texas, after crossing the border with hundreds of pills stashed in his guitar case. Today we go out with a little Johnny Cash. We had help today from Chuck Mraz, Sam Burton, Logan Pemberton, Brianna Robinson, Tilden Johnson, Sean Delaney, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.